Good morning. Good morning. So the Lord had put on my heart. It's probably been about 2 years ago, I think. I was at home praying, doing a lot of time just hanging out with Dad. And my wife is, I met her on the missions field doing a full-time ministry in South Africa. We got married in South Africa. Didn't know the Lord had a wife for me in South Africa. But we continued to do ministry, and then we decided to take a break because we wanted to see a little bit more of God in our life. We felt like we was out successful doing ministry, but just wasn't seeing the impact in the lives of people and the transformation we was looking for. We was successful ministry-wise and financial-wise, but we just wasn't seeing that transformation reaching children, youth, and fatherless young men. So we took about a seven-year sabbatical, praying, fasting, living by faith. And in that 7 years, the Lord said, at the end of the 7 years, he said, now the revival is going to start in Concord, North Carolina. And I said, Concord? What's in Concord? I said, I don't know nobody in Concord, North Carolina. And he said, if you want to be where the next move of God is going to be at, it's going to spark in Concord, it's going to flow back to the big city, and then it's going to flow throughout the nation. So as an evangelist, if you're a minister, you want to be where God is going to be moving. So we came here by faith and met people by faith. And as we shared that word that the Lord shared with me, because a lot of times we just heard it ourselves, we just assumed and may have been us. So Dad gives confirmation. So we was talking to a friend of my wife in a women's group. And when I shared that with her a few years ago, when the Lord shared it with me, she said, Johnny D, she said, I was in Concord a few years ago. And I was praying with a women's group, and in the midst of the women's groups, and this is about 3-4 years before the Lord showed me, she said, I was praying in the midst of the women group, one of the ladies prophesied, and the Lord said, revival is coming out of Concord, North Carolina. Is that not amazing? So he was giving confirmation. And then I met somebody connected to the Morningstar Church Ministry out of the blue and just shared a little bit of the same testimony. And they said, you ever heard of Bob Jones? I said, yeah, I'm familiar with Bob Jones, the prophet. They said, Johnny, about 5 years ago, he was preaching in somebody's pulpit in Concord, North Carolina. And he stood up in the pulpit and said, revival is coming out of Concord. So me and my wife was listening to a Sid Roth show. And this is how we found out about the faith church that was here, because we had been looking for the faith connections, the faith fellowship. And we was here 2 years ago, and we searched the internet. We didn't find a faith church. I said, they ain't got no faith church in Concord. So we must have missed it, because we watched a Sid Roth show, and there's a gentleman on Sid Roth show said the Lord told him to go to the faith church in Concord, and they would teach him about healing. And I said, baby, did you hear what he said? There's a faith church in Concord. I said, we need to go back on the internet and see if there's a faith church in Concord. And that's how we found you guys.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, Lord. I think Jim Howard could testify right there. Jim's been praying for this church. He's been praying that God move in this church and do what he wants to do here. This revival has been growing for many years, Jim. See, the vision starts when God puts it in a person. And it goes from Moses through Joshua to Caleb. It carries on. So it's growing, guys. It's on the inside of us, but we got to be prepared. We got to let it out. And Tammy, if you want to get, we're believing youth. Lord, touch, because we're talking about youth. Would you like to share when the youth come? Would you like to share that about the genes? Or yeah, let's share this, and then we're gonna receive the offer, and then He's going to put the icing on the cake this morning with the message.
Well, last Sunday on our way to church, we sing our songs out of this white binder. So last Sunday on our way to church, I was trying to put all my songs into the binder. And there's a snag on the binder. It's not there anymore. I got rid of it. But there was a snag on the binder. And so it snagged my skirt. And so I was upset and frustrated. And, I wasn't saying anything out loud. But in my mind, I was fussing. Like, Lord, why this got to happen? Why is this happening? I like this skirt. Why? So as I'm doing all of that fussing, I hear the Spirit say, well, it's time for ripped jeans. And I said, ripped jeans? I said, Lord, no, I don't do praise and worship in ripped jeans. I don't know who that message is for. I don't do praise and worship in ripped jeans. So we got here, service went through, pastor started talking about the youth, and he told us, look around, what do you see? And we did that, and, you know, we said, we don't see any youth here. And he started talking about the youth. And then the evangelist got up, and he made his statement about what God was saying about what would happen here with the youth. And then the Holy Spirit brought to mind the ripped jeans. I said, okay, Lord, message received. So if I had to do praise and worship in ripped jeans, and so be it. Hallelujah.
Is this making sense to you? We're not looking at what they look like. We're looking at what Jesus sees them looking like. Saved, healed, delivered. That's the beauty of holiness. It's not who we are, it's whose we are. And that's what we're here to do, is just glorify God in every way, in our spirit, soul, and our body. So let's stand this morning as you give. That's your purpose, is to worship God with the beauty of holiness, to see others coming to the gospel. And this is what our finances does. It helps bring guest speakers in. It helps turn the AC on. Yeah, those are little things. The big thing is the word of God, the word of faith that we preach. This is the word of faith that we preach. It's good news. It's a good news gospel. People like to hear good news. Amen. So that's what we're going to give them, is good news. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, as we give together as a church, believing for the youth, believing for this revival that, Lord, you started when Jesus hung on that cross. Revival started then. Revival fire hit the churches on the day of Pentecost, and it never stopped. The fire has never went out, Lord, and we just thank you. We're going to take that fire, and we're going to continue. We're going to light people up with the gospel, with the good news, Lord. And every person that gives today, Father God, we thank you, Lord. We speak blessings into their finances, Lord. We have a kingdom law, a law principle that says if you give, whatever you give is going to be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. 30, 60, 100. You tell God what you want. You believe, tell him what you believe in him for, and watch him bring it to pass. So, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for it, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, I got called on too. Very, very brief, but listen. A few years back, not too many back, Lord gave me a 4-part series of messages on There's Hope for the Church. And what it started out with, where he started me, was in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that's where hope for the church starts, with unity in the Spirit. Amen. Now, you residents around here that's been around a while, who knows what the name Concord means? Well, back years back, this all was part of Mecklenburg County, which was a big old county. When they divided it, there was a big fuss over where they were going to put the county seat. And so everybody was arguing because some wanted on that end and some wanted on this end. But we're just about right in the middle of the county here. And so they came to an agreement, and they found a word that means agreement, and that word is concord. Wow. And so we living in the city of unity and agreement. We stopped at Bojangles like we do on Sunday morning, and I had just trying to get in the building and trying to get out. So many people just being nice to us, just agreeable people. And so, and look here, I just got a gift card for Bojangles. I want you to know this place where it's going to start is called Agreement.
Amen.
All right.
You can be seated and thank God for people that love one another. Amen. That good old song, the Gaithers, we love God by loving one another. Loving God and loving each other. That's how the story ends. And that's how it begins. It begins and ends with love. So, Pastor Reed Robinson, come bring the word for us this morning. Thank you, God, for choosing this man and woman of God to bring their family here. And we're here to hear with hearing ears what God's going to say. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come, Pastor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Indeed, pleasure to come before you with a few words of encouragement this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, most gracious God, we just come to you this morning thanking you, Father God, give you praise, honor, and the glory. Holy Spirit, asking you to have your way, work in and through and out of me as we deliver this message. Let it fall on solid ground. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, saints of God, I'll be coming out of Ephesians chapter 4.
Figure that.
Yeah, a lot coming out of Ephesians, book of Ephesians this morning. I'll be coming out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. And read as follows. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Yes. Now, so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 14. And it's read as following. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized in one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many.
Amen.
This morning, if I put a title to that, those scriptures would be knowing your position in Christ. Knowing your position in Christ. Like Pastor said, it's our time. In order to know your time, you have to know your position in Christ. We see in sports, in order to be an effective player that make lots of plays, it is important to know your position and how to position yourself to make a play. In Christ, we have all been given positions, ministry, gifts, and talent, and makeup of our calling in God. We all have a destiny to fulfill. What God is saying here is that he expected us to be in position when he called us to do past, when he called us to do what he called us to do, so that we can handle the ball when it is given to us. One of the ways that Christians live is in a positive manner is to discover the ministry and their gift and service God and those around them use them, particularly gift, in their unique style. In order to know your position, you need to, point one, know who you are in Christ. It's important to know we are in Christ. We have been given the mind of Christ and have been made partakers of his divine nature. 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4 said, as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness,
yes,
through the knowledge of him who calls us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promise, that through these you may be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. Just as an athlete has to know what he is capable of or before making a great play, we too must know what we are capable of in Christ. In order to make a great play, we got to be in position, saints of God, in order to make that great play. We can't be, although like we have different talent and different members, but one body, but I can't be a singer when I'm a teacher, or I can't be in the media center, running the media center when I'm a teacher. You know, you have to know your position in Christ, what you have to do. In other words, thanks to God, stay in your lane. What you is called to do, stay in your lane. Because when you get in someone else's lane and everything, it could cause a wreck,
yes, amen,
a habit. So we got to know our capability in Christ. In 1 Samuel 14, there's a story of Jonathan and his armor bearer that won a great victory for the nation of Israel. In the beginning of the story, Jonathan stepped in faith based on what he knew his God was capable of. This helped him to know his position and what he could accomplish from that position. We are told in Scripture that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. He always leads us into triumph. 2 Corinthians 2 and 14. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Ephesians 4 and 13. This is our position in Christ from which we operate. What can you do for God based on those scriptures? The playing field is wide open, thanks to God. As long as you know your position in Christ. Point two, we must know God's purpose and will in the world today. We need to know that in order to know our position. 2 Timothy 1, 9 said, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. In other words, we must know the game plan God has for us. Whatever our position is, it will center on God's purpose and his game plan. Therefore, it is important to know his game plan. So as we look, thanks to God, look at God's overall game plan, Jesus said he was going to build a church in which the gates and authority of hell could not prevail against it. His authority and rule will be established in the church, thanks to God, Matthew 16 and 18. The earth shall be full with his glory through his body. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. Jesus shall be manifest through his body as the church comes into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. We are all being changed and conformed in his image. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. Let's go there. Through 18, it said, now the Lord is that spirit, in which the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Yes. But we all, with open face, behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, unto glory to glory, even by the spirit of the Lord. Also, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, until we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So you see, saints of God, this is God's plan. So we have to know our position in God's plan. So the gospel shall be preached to all nations as a witness. Matthew 24 and 14. His truth shall be established in the church, which is the pillar and ground of all truth. 1 Timothy 3 and 15. He shall have a great army that shall go forth, reclaiming and restoring all that was lost in the fall. Amen. Jude chapter 2, verse 2 through 11. His kingdom and will shall be established on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. So in order to know your position, you need to let God's purpose and perspective fill your heart. Point number three, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 19, that the Lord of our God, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the work of his mighty power. See, saints of God, God desires for each one of us to, each one of us, that the eyes of our understanding will be open so that we can see the hope of his calling. Everything about our hope and our calling is related in some way to his purpose and his will in the earth today. We see also in the same manner as a football player needs to spend time getting to know the game plan, so we need to so he can execute the play correctly, we must spend time to know God and his game plan so we are perfectly positioned for the play as they present themselves to us. So in other words, saints of God, we got to study. We got to preach to ourselves. We got to talk to ourselves. We got to encourage ourselves and let yourself know who we are in Christ Jesus. We got to learn our position in Christ Jesus. Like I said, like the football player, they study the game books. We got to study God's word. We got to study his book. We got to know in order to make a great play. We just can't get up and go out there and try to rebuke the devil. We're going to be like the seven sons of Sceva if we go out there and trying to rebuke the devil and not knowing the word, not standing on the word. So we got to be careful. We got to know. We got to study to show ourselves approving. We got to know who we are in Christ Jesus. We got to know our position in Christ Jesus. So in other words, thanks to God, let's study the word. Let's meditate on the word. Let's get the word deep within our spirit so we can have that weapon, the shield of faith. We can have, in other words, put on the whole armor of God. And that will cover everything, thanks to God. Amen. So we see in Daniel 11 and 32, the people who knew their God shall be strong and carry out great exploit. Yes. When David took on Goliath, it was because he saw things through God's perspective, as we need to see things through God's perspective, not our own desire and perspective, but through God's perspective. So David, he saw things through God's perspective. He said, who is this Philistine that he shall defile the army of the Lord? And we should be bold like that too, saints of God. We should be able to stand up and declare who could defile the believers of our Most High God. So we have to speak out, speak the word. We have to speak the life. Also, part number four, have a heart of faith and expectation. We got to have a heart of faith and expectation. We got to have that faith, and we got to expect, just like Pastor said this morning in giving. You give and everything with the expectation of receiving. It ain't got to be money, but receive the blessing of the Lord. Jesus constantly encouraged his disciples to have faith and to believe all things was possible to those who believe in the midst of difficulties. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believe. We should expect God to move supernaturally, saints of God, in our life. It takes faith and expectation and commitment to be continued to use by God supernaturally. When football players are lining up on the scrimmage line, they are not standing around with their hand folded waiting for something to happen. They are huddled down in an aggressive position, actually aware of every movement going on around them, waiting in expectancy to execute the play. So we, saints of God, have to be the same just like those football players. We have to be in our aggressive stand, be dressed in the full armor of God, ready to tackle whatever situation come into our life. If sickness come in your life, believe that you is healed. If financial difficult in your life, believe that you is rich. Like the psalm said this morning, let the poor say they is rich. Let the weak say they is strong. So we got to execute that play. In other words, what we speak, we can either speak life or we can speak death. We can speak blessing or we can speak curses. So in other words, are you positioned to respond to the divine appointment God wanted to bring your way? So that's a question that you need to ask yourself. Am I in that position, ready to handle in a situation that's come before me? Or are you standing around with your head in the cloud and unfolded and wondering if God would ever use you? Saints of God, you are God sent. Yes. Don't, like they once pastor told me, if you don't know your calling, do something until you realize. Don't just sit around and say, well, I ain't got nothing to do. Do something. Get busy if it ain't nothing but sweeping the floor. Amen. Minister of help. So do something. Don't just sit there, well, I ain't got nothing to do. We saints of God, we always have something to do. Amen. If it ain't nothing but just go out and encourage someone, tell somebody the good news. Amen. That God, he is love. Yes. Yes. You see, we have to be in position to respond to the divine appointment God wants us to bring our way. If we believe that God will bring something good out of the situation and look for it, then it is more likely to happen. To focus our attention in order to do this is focus on God. We focus on God's love and power rather than our strength and endurance or in the vain hope that things will be better tomorrow. You see, the greatness of God in the midst of all, you have to have a heart of faith and expecting need to speak the word over your situation. So you have, like I said, you have to speak the word. There's power in the tongue. The break of power or hopeless by speaking life word than dead words. We got to pray over our situation. We got to speak life. Number two, we got to ask God for a great vision of who he is. Ask him to help us walk in a new level of truth, a new level of trust. Study, meditate on verses in the Bible about the greatness of God, praying verse by verse in Psalms 145. Back to him in your own words is a good example. It's a psalm of praises by David about the greatness of God. So that's a step that we can use also, thanks to God, in getting to have that confidence in who God is and who we are in him. Also, another step is praise God for his greatness and his splendor. Do it even if you don't feel like it. Sometimes, thanks to God, since I retired, sometimes I'd be like, I don't even want to get up. You know, it's get that, but even I know that I have to get up and move and stuff on there. So praise God, give him thanks, you know, for his greatness, his splendor, even if you don't feel like it. Because when praises go up, blessings come down. There's a numerous power in a thankful heart. Raised to a new dimension of praise and thankfulness to God, praising and the attribute of God from A to Z. I praise and glorify you because you are almighty. You are beautiful. You are creator of the universe. You are my deliverer. So we see just continuous praise God that will lift you up. and give you that encouragement, knowing that who you are in Christ Jesus. Also, position yourself for victory. There's a new way of looking at life. We have been shifted into the end time season. We have to choose to align with God, saints of God. No matter what's come your way, we got to choose God. Amen. We need God in every step of the way on this journey. Yes. To step out of our comfort zone and make his presence our center thing. It's not about us, saints of God. It's about God. We got to constantly think of God doing throughout the day, talking to him in the midst of our activity. Also, another thing that we learned in school was make a journal. Do a journal and everything. Let God speak to you and write down what he is saying. Write creative prayers to him that you can pray over and over again. Use scripture in your prayer that claim God's greatness. Psalms 93, Psalm 96, and Psalm 98, just to name a few. So we see, saints of God, through that heart of faith and expectation with those that'll give you that hope, they'll give you that expectation and the faith to go on. Point number 5, don't allow the ruin and disappointment of life take you out of the game. Don't let the wounds and disappointment of life take you out of the game. Yes, we're going to have trials and tribulation, but don't let that take you out of your game plan. Don't let them take you out of your position in Christ. See, most athletes will get hurt and injured at one time or another if they are in the game constantly playing, continue playing, play after play. A good athlete will go through rehabilitation and physical therapy and get back into the game ASAP. Saints of God, so should we. We should continue to be in the game plan. If you're sick and everything, speak to that sickness. Get back in the game plan. Like I was telling my wife this morning, I'm having a headache trying to come up on me. But I said, that is not going to stop. Amen. I got a work to do. And everything, and so I'm encouraged to go on and doing what the Lord called me to do, in spite of the headache. Yes. See, it's hard to go through life in ministry without getting banged up from time to time, thanks to God. The more you out there witnessing and testify, preaching, teaching God's word, the more the adversary is going to try to stop you. It's going to try to stop you and prevent you from spreading the word of God. But you got to continue to go back and read the word, get encouraged, know your position, and just like the football player, get that physical therapy and go back out on the playing field. Amen. The trials of life has a way of stealing our passion and our joy from us. When we lose our passion, we also lose our sense of purpose and destiny. We begin to care less about finishing the race as an overcomer and are no longer in position for God to move in our life the way he desires to. We have a tendency to settle into a place of mere existence as Christian rather than walking in the overcoming mentality and attitude that God has ordained us to do. We must fight, saints of God. No matter what, we got to fight. We got to continue to fight. Like Paul said, that I may finish the race, he fought a good fight. He got banged up a lot, probably more than any of us will ever will be in our experience walk of life. Yet he continued the race without losing his perspective and his passion. What is your perspective? Does your perspective allow you to continue to move forward in God's purpose and destiny for your life when the circumstances of life are raging against you? we see that Peter had good reasons to wallow and soak in his misery and defeat. He denied the Lord three times while the Lord looked right at him. Although, thanks to God, we might fail in error, but don't give up. Mm-hmm. Yes, repent and ask the Lord to help you to get back on track. Amen. God is a loving God. Your sin is already forgiven. Yes, repent, acknowledge that you did wrong, and go on forth in your position in Christ. See, we see that the Bible said that Peter went out and swept billowing after he denied the Lord three times. He was severely wounded in his spirit. Like I said, we're gonna get wounded in our spirit because things do happen. But yet we see that Peter, as one who came forth in a powerful way, filled with vision and purpose, making one play after other. So no matter how low you go, you get, saints of God, in the depressed, but God can lift you up. He can reach red, like the son said, he can reach red down and lift you up out of the miry clay. We see that Peter was one who came forth in a powerful way, feeling vision and purpose, made one play after another. He was continued perfectly positioned when divine opportunities came to him. And so we have to be in those positions when opportunity comes, saints of God. We just can't sit and mope, oh me, oh me, oh my. We got to get up and let God use us. Amen. He was the one God used to usher in the birth of the New Testament church. He preached the first sermon that netted over 3,000 converts. Yes. So just imagine if we let God use us and knowing our position, what we can do. When we come in unity, thanks to God, we can do mighty things. Like I said, he was over 3,000 converts on his first sermon because he let God use him. He didn't let his failure and his denial and his weakness overcome him. He overcame his weakness. We also see he powerfully stood up to the religious leader in the midst of prosecution and mockery. We too have to stand up. In our society today, all this political correct and you can't say this or you can't do this, you can't talk about the gays or the lesbian or whatever, but despite of that, we got to stand up to the right in the midst of our persecution and mockery. Now is a good time, saints of God, in this society for us to step out in our positions. He also was delivered by angel from the prison. So if God delivered him, he would deliver us. People were healed by coming in contact with his very shadow. So we have the Spirit on us. People can get healed also. He was the first of the disciples to raise someone from the dead. He was used to bring the Gentile believer into the church. Are we out there, not just a Gentile, are we out there bringing in the unbelievers? It ain't got to be this church, but are we witnesses? Are we doing testimonies? Are we preaching and teaching God's words to the unbeliever so they could come in into the church? He was crucified upside down for his testimony of faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. So like I said, thanks to God, yes, we're going to be persecuted. We're going to be talked about, and we're going to be in a position where they're going to try to shut us down and talking about the goodness of the God. But do not be discouraged, saints of God. God will give you the victory in your position. He will give you the position. So we see Peter finished his course with faith and passion. Even though he blew the big times on occasion, he continued to do it. And we, thanks to God, we gonna blow it at time on occasion. But we know that a God is a loving God and he's a forgiving God. And we too can get back up and do the same thing. So ask yourself, have you allowed your wounds and discipline to take you out of the game? Hebrews 12:12-13, it said, therefore, lift up your tired hand and strengthen your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet. Let that which is lame go out of joint, but rather are healed. So we see, thanks to God, don't let nothing stop you. Even if you're on your sick bed, still praise God. Still speak life. And then closing, unplugging, my remark would be, God wants to do great things in our life. So let's put on the armor of light and be for about our Father business. He wants to use us and bless us more than we can comprehend or even imagine. We are more than conquerors, thanks to God. Paul said it, we believe it, it is the truth. We have the gift of God that enable us to live positively, but we are reminded that these gifts do not allow us to look at ourselves for our hope and salvation. Our hope is in Jesus, who died for us and who rose from the dead for us. Amen.